Hi, I'm Jenny, the host of It's Murder Up North. If you're curious about the murderous north of England, this podcast is definitely for you. I've lived in various parts of the north of England. I went to college in the shadow of Saddleworth Moor, where Myra Hindley and Ian Brady buried those five innocent children. I've worked in the city of Leeds, where the Yorkshire Ripper targeted his victims in the 1970s. Knowing how geographically close I have been to these crimes made me curious, and that curiosity became this podcast. However, my main hope is to help you see the person, not the victim.
Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige. As a kid, I had always heard about the kids who would dig around in their parents' junk drawer, looking for one particular item. Excavating, pushing through the rolls of tape, dust bunnies, batteries, and the lemon candies that just always seem to be around until they find what they're looking for. A magnifying glass. Such a simple device, and one that has been written about since around 420 BC. When used correctly, they magnify for understanding, education, or simply assistance and comprehension. But everything has a dark side. Everything and everyone. Even an item as benevolent as a magnifying glass in the hands of an ill-intentioned child can have devastating effects. The impact cannot be fathomed. Much of the time, it cannot even be seen. But just because you cannot see something doesn't mean it's not there. Being tried in court for any crime has impacts that do not stop at the witness stand. They do not stop at the courtroom doors. They are far-reaching and long-lasting for victims, family and friends, and even the perpetrators of the crimes. If the trial focused solely on the actions and behaviors that led them to where they are, that would be one thing. But the lives of all parties are placed under a magnifying glass, as their character, family, lives, choices are all placed on a hospital gurney. The legal team turns on the overhead light to get a better glimpse. There is no chance of avoiding, no ability to run to a shadowy corner. You cannot hide. As the pressure increases, and as your life begins to unfold before the world, a magnifying glass is placed in between the overhead light and your life. Light intensifies. Can you smell the smoke? Can you feel the radiating heat? The examination of a criminal witness is much like what has been previously described. This is something you can think about, prep, or consider before going to the stand. It's something that you know, as painful as it might be, there is an ideal end result of being released. But for as painful as examination is, cross-examination is a different beast. Substitute the overhead light with the sun. Substitute the common household magnifying glass for the glass used within a lighthouse on Makapu'u Point, 12 feet tall and 8 feet wide. Cross-examination is meant to make someone squirm. It's a public interrogation. It's an interrogation that has been prepared for more so than any primary interrogation could be. No matter how hard one tries, no matter how innocent one might be, the world around you burns, and despite all attempts to avoid it, you burn with it. When it's over, you are nothing but a skeleton, the core of your being and personality. You are laid bare for the world, for better or worse. Was this better or worse for Eileen? I think it's time to get into it so we can find out for ourselves.
Mr. Miss Warnos, you were in the courtroom yesterday when the videotape of your statement about Richard Mallory was played, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
You saw it in its entirety, didn't you?
Yes.
You didn't make one mention of anal rape or being tied up or having alcohol being squirted into your rectum, did you, during that tape?
Well, I told you that he was getting violent, and I also told you before in the first confession that he was talking about anal screwing.
Did you, in fact, see anywhere in that videotape or tell Mr. Horzepa at any time that you were strangled with a cord by Mr. Mallory?
Well, every time I tried to start telling you or him about what was happening, he interrupted me and asked me how many times was this person shot? What kind of items did you take? Did he say anything after he was, you know, when you shot him? Where did you leave the car? I never got a chance to express myself. I was always interrupted.
You were just cut off. You didn't get the chance to tell him?
Exactly.
Before Deputy Horzepa began the interview with you, he said he wanted you to tell him all the facts and circumstances surrounding the Mallory killing, didn't he?
I don't recall him saying that.
You don't recall him saying that? Well, what did you think your purpose was when you were sitting there telling him about the Mallory case?
My main purpose was there to confess about Tyra's innocence, and that was all. I didn't have any... I couldn't. There was no way that I could even remember. I was hysterical, shocked, and they had coerced me into talking, saying they were going to arrest Tyra Moore if I didn't answer their questions on the case, which I didn't want it. I was only there to confess about Tyra's innocence, 'cause I just got done talking to her on the phone and told her I was going to confess to clear her. I didn't know I was going to have to talk about anything because of that. If I did, believe me, I couldn't remember nothing, 'cause I was totally out of it.
Oh, well, it wasn't because the detective cut you off then, and now you're saying it's because you were totally out of it. Which was it?
Because they cut me off and because I couldn't remember.
Oh, it's because you couldn't remember.
A lot of things I couldn't remember. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get completely, just like I said today.
You could remember being anally raped, if you were anally raped, couldn't you?
I wasn't even interested in telling them certain things because I was interested in Tyra Moore, and I was mad that they had threatened me that if I didn't talk to them, they were going to arrest her. So I was pretty well belligerent, stubborn, as well as just saying, well, I'm just here to confess about Tyra. I'm not here to confess about the murders because I'm just trying to make clear to you that there's not two women, there's one woman.
All right. Now, as I understand it, you didn't tell about the anal rape or the alcohol. You didn't talk about that or the tying up because the detective cut you off.
That's right.
Or you didn't tell him because you forgot about it. Or you didn't tell him.
There's no or. That's all together.
There's a third reason you gave was now you were just there to talk about Tyria Moore and you were just stubborn.
There was a lot of reasons.
Well, what how about the rest of them?
The reasons are, I'm there to confess that Tyra Moore is innocent, which was, she knew pretty much, which was a flat-out lie, because I loved her so much I was protecting her.
Well, are you lying to protect her today?
Oh, I'll be more than happy to explain that Tyra Moore knows more than she's saying, and that she knows it was self-defense.
Are you lying to protect her today?
No, I'm not. I will tell you all about Tyra Moore.
All right. You said, let me be sure we have the reasons correct. You said you didn't tell the detective because he cut you off, and you didn't have a chance, and, or you didn't tell the detective because you couldn't remember it, and, or you couldn't tell the detective because you're stubborn and you're protecting Tyria Moore.
I couldn't remember because...
Let me finish the question, Miss Warnos. And you didn't tell the detective because you're stubborn and you're protecting Tyria Moore. Were there other reasons you didn't tell the detective?
I couldn't remember because I was in a state of shock, of Tyra, of thinking about Tyra. I told you over and over and over again, I'm only here to confess for Tyra. I'm only here to confess for Tyra, and I was totally focused on Tyra. When they asked me a question, when I started to get in the nitty-gritty to explain what happened, they always cut me off and asked me then other questions like, how much? How many times was he shot? What kind of items did you take? And that was when I started to get my memory was going okay, even if I tried, but then I wasn't really in the mood to talk about the cases, so that's why I couldn't remember, because I was thinking about Tyra, and I was mad that they had forced me into talking about the cases when I only wanted to talk to them about Tyra Jolene Moore.
You're saying they forced you to talk about the cases?
Yes, they did.
All right, let me ask you this. On the tape, and according to Horzepa's testimony, he advised you fully of your rights before you made any statements at all.
Yeah, and I walked in there, and he talked to me about 15 minutes before the tape was put on and the video was put on. It was not on at all. Nothing was. He had to turn the tape on. He had to go and turn the video on. Nothing was on when I talked to him, and that is when they threatened me.
They threatened you?
Yes, they did.
You were fully advised of your rights, and knew you didn't have to make any statements at all, didn't you?
When I walked in there, they said, I told him I'm here to confess, but I really just want to tell you about Tyra. And I was telling him I'm just here to talk about Tyra. He said, well, that's not going to do any good, because if you're just here to talk about Tyra and not about the cases, I've got Jolene Moore in custody right now, and I will have her in here in Volusia County Branch Jail, and I will have her indicted for first-degree murder as well as you, and we believe that you are suspects in this case.
And she was a suspect, wasn't she?
Yes, and I was pretty amazed that she became under protective custody when the police officers arrived in Pennsylvania. That she's under protective custody suddenly when she's a suspect.
And in fact, she's a suspect because you brought the automobile of who you killed to your dwelling and had her either riding or driving, didn't you?
She drove it.
Drove several of them, didn't she?
No, she didn't.
Objection, objection, Your Honor. Lee, we advise you on the record, do not talk about other cases. They have not been tried. Other juries will hear those. This is about Mallory. Your Honor, I would object to the counsel telling his witness not to answer questions.
I sustain the objection.
In fact, she was a suspect because you and she were riding in an automobile that was wrecked, that you had stolen from the man you killed, correct?
I'm not going to answer that.
Your Honor, may we have a brief recess to... I'll get back to that. May I reserve that area of report? And you indicated that it was because of a series of telephone calls with Tyria Moore that you decided to confess.
Say that over again.
You indicated that because you've been on the telephone to Tyria Moore, you decided to confess to protect her.
Yes.
In fact, you talked to her on the phone over a 3-day period on 11 different calls, did you not?
Yes, because the police officers forced Tyra to call me to confess.
You called her each time.
The police officers had her write a note and told her to have me call her. They had it all planned.
You called her each time, right?
Right. I called her under the direction of the police directing Tyra Jolene Moore.
The police had her set up so they could record your telephone calls, didn't they?
Yeah, they had me set up so that I talked to her about and her trying to ask me to clear her when Tyra Moore knows more than what she was even talking about. I only cleared her because I loved her to the max.
What is it that Tyria Moore knows that she's not talking about?
She believes it. She knows that it's self-defense and she's not telling anybody anything.
What else?
That's basically about it. She knows it's self-defense and She's not saying anything because she's involved in the books and movies, and she's involved in her family, not losing her family. I know her very well. She doesn't want to lose her family, and she's willing to lie for that. In order to, and she's also worried about being arrested for accessory to the fact after the fact.
If it was self-defense, and you really killed Mr. Mallory in self-defense, how would that jeopardize Tyria Moore?
Because Tyra Moore is interested in making her $500 million and more. She's already been offered, and it's on cap waiting for her if I get a conviction.
No. Listen. You didn't answer the question. I asked you if, in fact, it was self-defense. You killed Mr. Mallory because of the things you described. How would that jeopardize Tyria Moore?
Because they have to have my... These people that are involved in books and movies have to have my blood in order to get the money. So they're willing to lie for that.
How would that jeopardize Tyria Moore?
No, I'm talking about she doesn't want to say it's self-defense because I believe she is involved with a lot of millions of dollars in books and movies and she doesn't want my acquittal because if I get convicted, she gets multi-millions. So does Mr. Herd Zapa or whatever his name is and Munster and a lot of you other detectives and police officers that are involved in this. And also that her family is really... she's concerned about her family. She loves her family to the max. Her family's rejecting her. That's tearing her up because I know her to the max. And plus, she is, claiming that she doesn't know anything because she's afraid of accessory to the fact of, you know, because of knowing any incident whatsoever. So she's claiming, you know, she's pretending she doesn't know anything. Not even that I told her it's self-defense or any incident that happened. Ugh, my goodness, she's even acting like she doesn't even know how long we were in the Zodiac bar the first night we met. She's acting like she doesn't even know where I lived. She knew where I lived. I was living in the car at the time because I just broke up with Tony. She's acting like she doesn't even know some of the apartments we lived in and stuff. I mean, I got 289 lies in her deposition that she gave off of just flat-out lies of just common things. Why is she lying so much? Why does she have to lie about simple things?
And you said it's because you jeopardize her in some way if she didn't tell about your self-defense.
I believe that she is lying about a whole lot of things and to keep herself from being an accessory to the fact of anything. She is afraid to tell anything, even if she is afraid to say it's self-defense because then she is knowledgeable about the situation.
Is there anything else that you say she knew that would incriminate her except the self-defense story about Mallory?
She knows it's self-defense, and she just knows a little bit of what happened. Not all, because she'd always tell me, don't tell me the rest, because I want to pass a polygraph. If I ever get polygraphed, I'll pass it.
Did you tell her anything else?
I couldn't tell her in detail, because I didn't want her to get too involved. But she did hear from me that it was self-defense, and just a little bit. She saw the bruises, witnessed the bruises and all, asked me a little bit about the situation, which I'm not gonna...
At the beginning of your statement to Detective Horzeppa, you told him that she didn't know anything, didn't you?
I was covering for her, totally.
My question is, didn't you tell him she didn't know anything about it?
I was covering for her, totally.
You lied to him, and you also told him that you kinda got to drinking. And then you casually mentioned to Tyria that you'd been drinking, and you'd been to the woods, where your bicycle was, and you saw a body in the woods, and that's what you told her.
Yes.
And you told him that she made some remarks to some extent, right?
Right.
And she didn't believe you did.
It happened 14 days later on the news. She saw it, and I knew she was going to see the car because we, you know, she saw the car the first day, and was on the news, the vehicle with a gator tag in the front. I knew she was going to recognize it, so I told her that 14 days after. So I told her about the bicycle jazz 14 days after, so she gets prepared, because I was going to prepare to tell her what happened.
Because you knew that was coming. You saw that on the television. You knew she was going to pick it up.
Yes, I did.
So then you told her that it was this dead guy in the woods that you came across, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't tell her that you killed him, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, when did you tell her that?
On the 14th, the day after he was on TV.
But first you said you found a body, and you drank a little more, and then you said you killed him, right? You began the story when you were drinking that night. When it came out on television, you said you found a body, and then you told her you killed him.
First you said I found the body, and then I told her I killed him.
Yep.
Oh, yes, because I wanted to prepare her, like, how she would react. She started getting reactive.
She got right upset, didn't she?
Well, at first, she didn't believe me.
Did there ever come a time she believed you?
Yes, after I started telling her this guy attacked me. I'm trying to tell you, and I want to prepare you, because I've got to tell you that day that you saw those bruises on my neck and everything, the day we had moved that car, that was Richard Mallory, and he had raped me really bad, is what I told Tyra.
Oh, so you didn't even tell her this rape story until 2 weeks after it happened.
I was scared to, because I didn't want her to worry and get scared. She loved me really bad, and I loved her very bad. And I didn't want to just sit there and tell her what happened.
And then you say you told her all these details about the alcohol and anal rape and the tying up and all that.
No, I didn't tell her all the details. I told her I was raped. She asked. I told her I was raped. And then she asked a few questions, and I told her. I started to get into detail, and she says, don't tell me no more. I don't want to know no more. So she was really pissed off. She was really mad at Mallory for what he'd done, and she was just really mad.
And how close were you and Tyria?
Very close. Tight as not two peas in a pod. We were right arm, left arm, glued together. I mean, we were tight. Yeah. We loved each other very much.
Trusted each other?
Yeah.
What broke up the relationship?
When we saw the sketch on the TV, I told her, you're gonna have to go to your parents' house. You're gonna have to just leave me, and we made arrangements for her to take a bus, and she called her parents and got ready to go up north.
What sketch on TV are you talking about?
The sketch of the two girls.
Sketches that are evidentiary in this case?
Yes.
Why? Why did that cause you to break up?
Because too many people knew that Tyra wore a baseball cap, I wear a baseball cap, and that we were always together, and in the looks of that sketch fits our features.
And so now, she was a suspect in a murder.
Yes.
Because you and she had been riding in a murdered man's car.
Under the advice of my attorneys, I'm not going to answer that question.
Are you not going to answer any questions about the other six murders?
Objection, Your Honor. Lee, do not answer that question on our advice, because those cases have not been tried. Other juries will hear it.
Under the advice of my defense attorney, I am not going to answer that question.
During the 3 days of telephone calls while you were in the jail, and you were talking to Tyria Moore, you called her each time, correct?
Well, I had to. She couldn't call me.
Okay, and to your knowledge, those telephone conversations were all recorded by police.
I asked her over and over, is she being recorded?
Well, you suspected you were being recorded, didn't you?
No, but I thought I'd ask her to see if she'd tell me she was or something. Because I know Tyra. She might say yes and tell me the truth. But now I've realized that Tyra sure can conceal herself and lie. I never knew she had a black heart like she does, because right now, she could help me out if she'd just be honest.
What is it you want to say about these murders?
What?
Objection, Your Honor. Lee, do not answer that question. Take away the S, and we'll withdraw the advice.
During those telephone conversations, did not even one single time in 3 days with 11 calls, did you say you'd been raped, did you?
I was totally concentrating on her and what she was doing up north, and then when she told me that the police are around, I was totally concentrating on how I've got to cover for her. I never even thought about that.
All right. What were you covering for, or what was it that you were trying to cover for her?
That she... to be a suspect.
She hadn't done anything, had she?
She's an accessory. She knows what happened.
Did she participate in any way?
She knows that I was raped. Not in detail, but she knows I was raped and I defended myself.
And she, you say, she knows that because you told her 14 days after it happened, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you didn't mention it one time during the 3 days of phone calls, did you?
Like I said, I wasn't concentrating on any of the self-defense or anything. I was concentrating on when I get in there and confess that she's not involved in a murder, that's just solely I am the person that's involved. She is not. I've got to clear her and that they got the wrong person.
Does that mean that during those 3 days of phone calls, you did not even one time mention rape?
We didn't even hardly talk about it. We talked about other things.
Does that mean that you never mentioned a rape during the 3 days of the phone calls?
That's right, because it was never brought up.
It was never brought up until months after your arrest, correct? It wasn't brought up with Detective Horzepa, was it?
It sure wasn't, because he didn't give me a chance to say it. He always cut me off. In every one of those crimes, he cut me off. He cut me off. He cut me off every time I talked about a rape with any incident.
Oh, did you talk about rapes with other incidents?
I'm not going to answer that.
In fact, during the 3 days of phone calls, more than 65 times you said it was mistaken identity and that Ty was innocent, over and over again.
Because in the later portions of the phone, when I kept asking her about if anybody's recording, I just felt, just in case she is lying to me, I'm going to not express anything on that phone that would put her in jeopardy.
Or put you in jeopardy.
Right.
You're also looking to protect yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that's why over 25 times you said it was mistaken identity. You said that over and over again, didn't you?
I only said it twice.
You only said it was mistaken identity twice?
I think. I mean, I can't remember the phone calls, everything we said.
Well, could it have been more than 25?
I can't remember everything that was said.
Could it have been more than 25?
More than 25? If you counted them, I don't know. I don't think so as far as I'm concerned.
How about more than 20?
Nope.
More than 10?
I don't know. I thought a couple of times I said it.
Okay, all right. And more than 25 times on the phone, you suggested that she lie for you, didn't you?
No, I don't recall any part. I told her, please go and tell them the truth. I thought she would go and tell them self-defense.
Oh, but didn't you say, don't mention me? Tell them the truth, but don't mention me? Didn't you say that over and over again?
I don't recall that. I don't know.
You don't recall asking or suggesting that she lie?
If I did, then I said next, it's a very confusing situation. It's a very intense, scary, shocking moment. A lot of things are mixed and mashed. You just don't think properly. You don't think.
And what was shocking about the casual phone calls on the telephone to your best friend?
What do you mean, casual? She started getting where she was talking about her family being interrogated by police officers.
Now you talked about drinking beer and how you couldn't wait to get out and things like that too, didn't you?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you what day, when, where, first, second, third time I...
Told her how much you loved her and missed her, things like that.
Yes,
These weren't shocking phone calls now, were they?
That was the beginning. That was the beginning. We were talking about how much I loved her and stuff. Yes, I missed her. That was the beginning. The shocking phone calls came at the end.
And you suspected police were listening there towards the end, didn't you?
I didn't know. I had no... I didn't know if I could believe her or not, so I tried to keep calm on the phone on certain things.
Well, wouldn't this have been the ideal time under this calm circumstance to say, well, you know, I had to do it.
I didn't want...
Let me finish the question. You know I had to do it because I was raped so brutally and had to defend myself. Wouldn't that be something to say for the police to hear?
I didn't want her to be an accessory to the fact. I constantly thought she could be charged because she knew about an incident that even lingered for a year before anything was known about it.
And that's the first thing. That's the first thing you told police, wasn't it? That she knew about the killing. But she didn't really believe you.
Because at first she didn't believe me.
In other words, the first thing out of your mouth was, she's innocent.
Oh yes, I'm lying there though. I'm telling him that she didn't believe me, but I'm covering for her because I'm doing the same thing she's doing. Pretending that she knows nothing. She knows it's self-defense. She knows I was raped.
Maybe you're doing the same thing now as you were then, wouldn't you say?
I'm not lying at all. I'm up here telling the truth that I think I'm the only one that's telling the truth, especially when I've learned about all these books and movies. Greed.
Well, you've talked to some movie people, haven't you?
I did? Oh, Jackie Drew? We have a lawsuit going on her. We're filing a lawsuit.
Major movie producer type person. You talk about if any money was being made out of this, you'd like tie to have it.
No, because if I said anything to her in a letter, which I can't understand how I could have wrote her while I was in jail, because as soon as I got done talking to the detectives, they stuck me in solitary confinement lockdown, shoving pills down me and got me messed up on drugs, forcing me. And I didn't even have any pen or pencil or paper to write. And you people are saying those letters came in January in jail. And I don't remember writing any letters whatsoever.
Who was this that was forcing drugs down you?
They had me on Vistaril. They had me where I couldn't have any. I didn't have any commissary, not even a Bible, a book, nothing to read 24/7, and a square little room with nothing to do but come up and say, "Do you want your pills to help you sleep?" And, of course, I took them to sleep, and I got hooked on Vistaril. I was taking 2,800 milligrams a week, 16 pills a day, 400 milligrams a day. 16 pills a day almost killed me. They almost killed me.
But you said it was the detective. It wasn't the detective doing any of that, was it?
It was the detective's idea.
And how do you know that?
'Cause I sure didn't ask for it. I didn't ask to be put in medical lockup. As soon as I got done with the cops, they shuffled me over there and did that to me.
You're saying Detective Orzeppa was forcing you to take pills?
It was a plan, I believe.
This was after you made your tape statement, right? Right?
Yes.
You weren't on pills when you made your statement, were you?
No, but I was coming off of alcohol, and I was really still shaking and pretty well withdrawing from alcohol, heavy drinking.
Did you see the videotape of yourself yesterday?
I've only seen that.
You've only seen that part?
Mm-hmm, I never seen the whole video.
Did you see any evidence of yourself shaking?
If you guys think I was, I wasn't. I was very, very nervous and just trying to keep it together as much as I could. But I was shaking and everything, and that's why he gave me his jacket. Because I was just shaking like a leaf, and it was cold in there, which made it worse.
Well, you didn't say that Mr. Mallory had tried to rob you on any of those telephone calls, did you?
Why would I? We weren't talking about Mallory. We weren't talking about any incidents. All we were talking about, all I was thinking about was to clear Ty from being that suspect of the sketches on that TV.
Well, what were you thinking about when you're talking about this mistaken identity?
The sketches, in case the tape was rolling. If there was some police officers there, I was protecting her over the phone.
And you even said that you're going to sue law enforcement if you got arrested for this, or sue the county.
Who knows? I was withdrawing from alcohol so bad. I was so confused and so scared about Tyra that I couldn't function properly. I don't know what I was saying. I was in Pluto, scared out of my wits, caring about Tyra. I loved her to the max. I must have told her 25 times a day, I love you.
You said that you were supporting Tyria more and that she wasn't working. Is that what you've been telling the jury?
I've supported her for all 3.5 years. The last year she worked, but she made such little money, I still had to work.
Well, didn't you continue to tell the detectives that she worked all the time?
No, she didn't work. I meant she worked all the time at Casa del Mar. That's directly talking about Casa del Mar when I say that.
Didn't you say all she does is go to work and come home and then go back and go to work?
Yeah, that's Casa del Mar.
And when you spoke to the detective Horzepa and told him what you told Ty, what you told him was that you had found a body, but you were just bullshitting her, in your words, because you were real drunk. Remember saying that?
What I meant was I was saying that there's a lot of times I'd be drunk and I'd just bullshit with her. That's when I was lying. About her. Yeah, trying to make her sound like she didn't know anything. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. I remember what you're talking about. I can't remember what all those confessions say either, so...
Hard to keep the story straight, isn't it?
No, it's hard to remember what you're talking about, because I'll tell you right now, when you asked me that question, I didn't know what you were talking about as far as what that was about. Like, was I talking on the phone? I didn't know what you were reading the confession.
Now, the reason you were a prostitute was because you made really good money at it, right?
Yes.
In fact, the indication was that you went out and sold yourself 6 or 7 days each week.
I went out anywhere from 4 to 7. You know, it varied. There's times I only went out 3 days a week, but it varied. But basically, I went out 4 to 7 times a week, yeah.
And you had sex with 3 to 8 guys each time?
Yeah, 'cause it varied. You didn't ever know how many you're gonna have. You just keep hustling until the day's through.
And you were charging how much per sex act?
30 for head, 35 straight, 40 for half and half, at 100 an hour.
Well, you were making anywhere between $600 and $1,000 a week.
Well, you're right, and that's where all the money went. In bars with Tyra, fancy clothes and beer drinking.
You're capable of holding other jobs, aren't you? You've done other work.
I don't have the qualifications for the jobs. I've always been fired, and I've never been able to hold a job. The only thing I know how to do well is prostitution. It's the only thing I really know how to do.
Well, you get paid more doing that more than anything you've ever done before, don't you?
It's good money. It's also the only thing I really know how to do. I've done it all my life.
You also liked it, don't you? You like it.
Well, I like the sex, and I like some of the clients I meet. They become like my brothers, but it's a job. That's just part of the job and being a prostitute.
It was also kind of a rolling road party, wasn't it?
No, because you have to watch yourself and be careful, and you've got to, you know, keep a level head on your shoulders. It's a job. It's not exciting, like super exciting. You have to keep a good head on your shoulders and just do your job and hope you don't run into jerks and stuff.
You like the sex, and you like the money.
Yes.
And you like the contact with the different men.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came a time that you decided to arm yourself and started carrying a pistol, right?
Yes.
And you said there was a reason for that. But tell us again, if you wouldn't mind, the reason you felt it was necessary.
I carried it plainly for protection.
You said over a period of time men had tried to rape you. Or raped you.
I've been raped many times, and it never worked when I had weapons, other weapons. I never could defend myself, so I finally got a gun where it would be defense.
Well, how many times during the 4.5 years you lived with Ty Moore did you defend yourself?
I was raped 3 times, but there was 2 other incidents where I had the gun, but I didn't use it. They were young guys. I didn't need to hurt them because they didn't use any weapons on me or anything. And the other 3, I had 2 gas guns and a bullfighter. I got raped and beat up royal on those.
So you say there were 5 times you had to defend yourself with weapons while you were being raped, but didn't have to use a gun.
Yeah, and the 2 guys, one looked like he was 22, the other 27. That's when I had the gun just before Mallory.
How many times before you killed Mr. Mallory while living with Tyria Moore did you have to shoot somebody to defend yourself from rape?
I couldn't. I didn't have a pistol, weapon.
But if you had, you'd have used it earlier.
I tried with mace and I've got beat up and raped and it didn't work.
If you had a gun those other times, would you have shot the men?
Well, at the advice of my attorneys, I'm not going to answer that question.
They haven't instructed you to not answer that. Would you have shot men before that if you had a gun earlier?
Well, I'll just answer it like this. Every situation is totally different. I couldn't answer that question.
Well, what about just the 5 that you said raped you before Mallory? Would you have shot them?
I don't know. I can't. I don't know. It's every incident is totally different. If it's very violent and physical, I'm going to defend myself. Yes, everybody has a right to defend themselves. That's what I did. These were violent, violent rapes. And the other ones, I had to beg for my life. I had a double-barrel shotgun against my head. He had a .357 Magnum against my head.
When was that?
In the rapes.
It wasn't in any of the other cases where you killed?
Objection. Don't answer the question, Lee.
Did you ever kill anyone that had threatened you with a .357 Magnum or a shotgun to your head?
Objection, Your Honor. As long as he focuses on the format, I have no objection. If he doesn't, Lee, don't answer the question.
Okay.
Did you ever kill anyone before Mr. Mallory that threatened you with a shotgun?
No, I didn't have a gun on me. And I had a bullfighter and a gas gun, and they always got it from me and put the weapons on me, making me beg for my life.
Did you ever kill anyone before Mr. Mallory that threatened you with a shotgun?
How could I? He had the shotgun on me.
Is your answer no?
No, yes.
Did you ever? And there may be an objection, so wait until your counsel has an opportunity. Did you ever kill anyone after you killed Mr. Mallory that threatened you with a shotgun?
Object, Your Honor. Same grounds. Lee, don't answer the question. May we have a meeting outside the presence of the jury? May we reserve an argument, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, you knew it was a crime to prostitute, didn't you?
3 million other women do it too. It's an everyday thing, and it's been going on for centuries, and I wasn't doing anything out there wrong or mean to anybody. What they did was mean to me. I was very kind, very nice, and had a very ladylike attitude. I didn't do anything wrong to them. I didn't hardly even swear. I talked about religion and politics, and even talked about them getting saved by the Lord with some of them, and I mean, I talked about Jesus coming soon, and I was very calm. There was no reason to attack me.
What they did was mean to you?
What they did was mean to me and violent.
Who? Who are you talking about?
We're here on Richard Mallory, and I'm talking about Richard Mallory right now.
You said they.
I'm not going any further into this.
So you think it's okay to violate the law if a lot of other people do?
Everybody prostitutes, even housewives, and so do the men. They're the ones out there with the money out there putting it on a hook, saying to us prostitutes, you know, here we are. If they'd keep their money in their back pockets and their penis in their pants, they wouldn't be the ones feeding prostitution. They're the ones that feed it. We're just out here making money.
Kind of like drug dealers?
There was no harm in it. Like a date. If I walk in a bar and I meet a guy, which I never work bars, truck stops, CVS rest area, street walk, nothing like that. I strictly hitchhiked prostitution. Now, If I walked in a bar, though, and there was a guy there that I wanted to go to bed with, and we go to bed without money, that's just, to me, that's just like prostitution. Adulterous right there, too. But here, let's say we go to bed, and he offers me money. That's just it, and we don't hurt each other. What's the difference? What's the difference? We've agreed upon sex with each other. Only thing is, he's given me a little money to help me, and I'm helping him. It's like friendship. Here's a loan, even. I mean, it's just plain friendship. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not hurting anybody. We weren't hurting anybody. They're hurting us.
So you think you have the right to disregard the law if you disagree with it?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the only thing I could do anyway. That was my job. I wasn't hurting anybody out there.
Well, that's not true, is it?
I wasn't hurting anybody out there. I'm the victim as far as I'm concerned. He had no reason to rape me. He had no reason to do what he did to me. I didn't provoke him in any way.
You didn't hurt anybody out there. That's what you said, correct?
Never. They hurt me. I'm talking about the earlier rapes and everything. I didn't have a gun. I couldn't defend myself. If I tried to defend myself, I came close to death so many times, I had to beg for my life. I had to carry a gun for protection. It's the only thing I knew to do as far as work. I've done it all my life, and it was the only thing I had I could do. But now the years are getting further into a scary high rise of crime.
Excuse me, I didn't ask you a question. I'll ask you one in just a moment.
Are they into other incidences? Because I'm only here for the Richard Mallory case.
Well, I'm only trying to ask you why you killed 6 other men.
I'm here for one trial. I'm here for first-degree murder, 1 count in this county.
Isn't it a fact that you had a pattern of hitchhiking the highways and selecting middle-aged men around 35 and older up into their 60s?
Nope. I dated guys from anywhere from 28 and up. And in my confession, if it says older, I just, like I say, I wasn't in my right mind where I could stop and rationalize to think what some of the things I want to say because my mind was going through 100 things.
And isn't it true that you generally contacted these men along the major thoroughfares and interstate highways in the state of Florida?
I hitchhiked and prostituted. That's what I did.
Primarily out of the Daytona Beach area in the central Florida area.
I'd worked the whole Florida state, the whole state. I-95, I-75, I-2750, I-41, I-44, anywhere, just the whole Florida state.
It was your pattern, was it not, to tell him that you were a prostitute so that you could make money?
No, there's a lot of times I got in the car and they asked me if I was dating. I mean, if I wanted to go on a date. They propositioned me many a times. A lot of guys pulled over. It was strictly for sex. It wasn't like giving a girl a ride to the next exit. It was strictly to pick me up for a date. They knew I was out there for a date. That's, I'm sure, every other girl that's hitchhiking out there gets propositioned by a guy. As soon as they get picked up, I bet you they get propositioned by the guy. Because most of the times, I didn't have to ask them. They'd asked me.
Well, you heard Bobby Copas talk about you asking him.
He didn't pick me up. I don't even know him. And I think, furthermore, Jackie Drew knows him and that he called her up about something about a movie. And he's basically bold-faced lying up there to get some media attention because I've never seen the man in my life. I wouldn't. Plus, I don't go to truck stops and I don't ride with truckers.
You deny that you went over to him and asked for a ride, saying you needed to get back to your children where your sister was.
I don't... Guess what? I haven't called her for 10 minutes since 1986. I haven't seen her since 1976.
I'm not suggesting you told the truth. I'm asking, is that what you told him?
No, I didn't see the man. I don't know who he is. I never seen him. I didn't tell him nothing because I'd never been in his car. I don't know him. I never seen him. Plus, I don't think I'd deal with somebody that fat anyway. He was too big of a guy and I don't deal in truck stops.
You weren't the one who hollered after him.
He's too big of a guy. I wouldn't have trusted him, you know, being with him.
He's not the one you hollered after saying, "That old son of a bitch, I'll kill you too," like I did the others.
Yeah, I did not. He never picked me up. I'd never, especially at a truck stop. I don't work truck stops. I don't walk in truck stops. I think truckers are too dirty.
Your testimony is then he is lying, right?
He's lying. Yes, he is.
And you say, 'cause he wants to make money in a movie or something.
I'll tell you how much I think he's lying. He says I had a purse. The police officers got my purse, the brown one. My gun does not fit that purse. You can check it.
You generally carried your gun in a little bag, didn't you?
I carried my gun in a tote bag. He says a purse.
You'd practiced with it, actually, as to how fast you could get it out. Kind of like a quick draw practice.
Oh, yes. I doubt that. No. No, no, never, never, never happened.
You ever tell anyone that?
What do you mean? It never even happened. I never did that in my life. When I get home, I'm tired. I sit the bag down or in the closet and go to sleep.
You never practiced getting it out fast and seeing if you could shoot fast?
No, of course not. And I think you made that up royal.
You know, it's against the law to carry a concealed firearm, don't you?
Yes, but I took that risk because I had to use protection. And also, if I wasn't a convicted felon, I would have bought a gun and carried it. But since the law won't let us felons when we get out of prison protect ourselves with a weapon, they just say, go ahead and get killed. We don't care. We have to just go and forget the law and carry it anyway. Because there's a lot of people that have been convicted felons coming out of prison, and they are just as decent of people as can be. Yet, you say we can't carry a weapon. We've got to protect ourselves. There has to be a way to protect ourselves. We can't use our hands.
You're even a victim of the law.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When you just said because of the law.
Oh, all right. We can't use our hands is what I'm saying. We have to have a weapon. You're trying to tell us convicted felons we cannot defend ourselves? We have to have a way to defend ourselves.
You think all convicted felons should carry a gun? Is that what you're saying?
A lot of them do turn to the Lord, and a lot of them are very decent people and very straightforward people. So, they broke the law. Everybody breaks the law, and I bet you do too. Matter of fact, you drive a car and pollute the earth.
And some of them shoot men to death in cold blood, don't they?
No, they don't. I didn't shoot anybody in cold blood, although I would have been out there decaying instead.
You've never shot anyone in cold blood?
No, I don't have the heart to shoot somebody in cold blood.
You ever shoot a man in the back of his head?
I'm not going to answer that question. It does not have anything to do with this case. Different circumstances to different reasons and circumstances. I don't need to answer that. It has nothing to do with Richard Mallory.
Would you like to answer it?
Nope, not going to.
Now, you told this jury that when Mrs. Jenkins was examining you, that Mr. Mallory solicited you for sex.
No, when we got to Quail Run, he asked me how I know so much about married people. He said, I thought you were single, I thought you told me you had a roommate, and I said, well, I guess it's time for me to be honest and tell you that I hustle for a living, and that's why I know married people, because 90% of my people are married.
You propositioned him then?
He asked me my prices. He said, well, you mean sex? And, I mean, I laughed and said, yeah, sex. He said, well, how much do you charge? And it carried on from there.
You say that was after you got off the interstate.
Yes.
Didn't you tell the deputy that after he offered you the drink, and he was just got past Orlando, and, in your words, we're getting pretty drunk now, and we're continually going down the road, and we're getting drunk royal. And I asked him if he wanted to make some money, that I needed some money for rent and everything. He was interested, so we got out, and we stopped at this place on US 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was very incoherent when I was saying something. I was always chopped up what was happening because I couldn't remember correctly. Plus, I was still thinking of Tyra confessing. But that still means that, yes, at Quail Run, that happened. Not past Orlando. What I'm talking about, we've got past Orlando, now we're in Daytona. I'm sure that's how I was thinking. We finally got past Orlando. Now we're on US 1, which we were on US 1 at Quail Run. And then we talked about sex and...
Then you agreed to take your clothes off. You took your clothes off, and that was usual for you, wasn't it?
I always usually took my clothes off first with any guy, just because, I mean, if we're doing sex for an hour or whatever, you know, it's not with head or anything, just with, you know, for an hour.
All right. Then according to your first statement, the detective, Horzeppa, at the time, he gave you some money.
He didn't give me any money. I rephrased. I told you guys he didn't give me any money.
No, that's what you said today. You said he didn't give you any money, right?
He didn't give me any money. He never gave me any money.
But you told the deputy back in January of 91 when he took your tape statement that he gave you the money.
No, and then I corrected myself later in the pages. You should read on. And I also told them it was a different story and the handbag deal is not even with Richard Mallory. It's a totally different guy. I was getting mixed up. And plus, he kept asking me about somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and had switched me around so many times I was confused on who was who I was thinking of.
Well, here is your statement. You're talking about Mallory, and it's just below where you talked about him propositioning on page 5. We get to page 6 to the bottom, and you said, "So we go to the woods," you say. "Okay, I want a drink of this stuff, and it's about 5 o'clock, and I'm just starting making... And he gives me the money, and I start to disrobe."
And I think if you check on page 9 or something, it states, "No, he didn't give me any money."
We will get there. And you said, "Now this guy's getting really kinda... He's starting to get a little, you know, kissing me and stuff. Anyway, he hasn't disrobed himself at all." That was Mr. Mallory, wasn't it?
Yes, I was thinking about the very last seconds of what happened when he didn't take off his clothes at that moment when I'm speaking.
You're still talking about Mr. Mallory on page 7. You say, "Okay, so anyway, we're in the front seat and he's hugging and kissing on me and all that shit and so on. He starts, you know, pushing me down. And I said, 'Wait a minute, you know, get cool. You don't have to get rough. You know, this is, let's have fun. This is for fun, you know.' And he's telling me, 'Well, baby, no, you. I've been waiting for this all night long,' and stuff like that." And that was in the front seat of the car. That was Mallory, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I did not express that correctly. I was totally incoherent. And if you read on, I think it says this is a different story.
We'll get there. And then you go on. At this time, you're in the passenger seat, and he's in the driver's seat, right?
Yes, mm-hmm.
And he's behind the wheel of the car, correct? Answer yes or no, please.
Yes, I mean, he's behind the wheel of the car, you said? Yes.
And you say the doors are open, and then you said, "He's getting really heavy, you know, on me, you know, and stuff." And I'm going like, he's getting to where he just wants to just, you know, he unzipped his pants, not taking his pants off or anything, just started having sex and stuff. Is that Mr. Mallory you're talking about?
That's the very last, and when he pulled the cord and everything, he didn't take his clothes off.
And nowhere before that did you mention the cord at all.
I didn't get a chance to. I told you guys about anal screwing with Mallory in the beginning, and I don't know how it goes, how he questions me. I haven't been able to read those.
You haven't been able to read the transcript?
I have read it, but I just don't remember what it says. But I just know that I was questioned improperly, where I was totally mixed up. I was totally incoherent. I was in shock, hysteria. I was thinking about Ty. I was freaking out about her because they said they were going to arrest her. I was withdrawing with alcohol royal. I had been on a 7-week royal binge of drinking. Or, no, not 7, but 5 weeks since she left me, because I was all bummed out about her leaving me. I was totally gone up here. I didn't know what... I did the best of my ability, but plus, I didn't know what to say. I knew in my mind I didn't want to talk about it because I couldn't remember. I had blackouts. I did the best I could.
But you told in great detail of the location geographically, road rise, and everything else, where you were picked up, didn't you?
With who?
With Mr. Mallory.
When who?
Well, let's talk about all of them if you'd like.
No, who are you talking about? Who did I tell this to?
You told in great detail to Mr. Horzeppa where Mr. Mallory picked you up.
Oh, yeah, I-4 and I-75.
The whole conversation. Have you two got along and all that stuff?
No, I didn't. I said just I-4 and I-75 in Tampa.
You said you did a lot of talking and you thought he's a nice guy.
On the way from Tampa to Daytona, yes, we talked a lot.
And then you told him that when he wouldn't unzip his pants, you said to him, and well, why don't you just disrobe or something? You know, I mean, why do you have to have your clothes still on?
No, because I didn't know what I was talking about on the one, because I told you, it was a different story. I confused myself with the other guys, and I'm not going to get into other details of other cases because they're totally different.
What other story are you talking about now?
I don't know. I could tell you I was incoherent and those confessions and I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm all talking about in 25 pages is Claire and Tyra Jolene Moore.
You're talking about killing a man in 25 pages.
Nope.
The only place you talk about Claire and Tyria Moore is generally at the start of these transcripts.
No, I said 37 times I stated, or 17 times I stated Claire and Tyra, and I think it's 37 times or something like that about confessing only for Tyra. 17 times already.
You say this is some other person you were talking about that wouldn't unzip his pants and you got mad. You said this is some other person.
I'm getting just as confused as when these confessions were being questioned. I don't understand what you're getting at.
All right, try listening to the question. You said that this person who wouldn't unzip his pants to have sex is someone else. Who is that? Who is that other person you're talking about?
Read that over. I don't even know what he's talking about. That's not what I said in there.
Are you answering your attorney or are you answering the question?
Well, apparently I just heard it's too late now. That's not what it says in there. You're just making up something.
You think I'm making up something here?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, because I don't know what you're reading.
And here's what I asked you.
What page?
Page 7.
On Mallory.
On Mallory. And you said now, he's getting to where he just wants to, you know, just unzip his pants. Not take his pants off or anything. He starts having sex and stuff, and I said, well, why don't you just disrobe or something? You know, I mean, why do you have your clothes on?
Okay, there. It must be when I first asked him to do the disrobe, you know, to see. Now I'm getting mixed up. I'm mixed up totally. I asked him to disrobe because it was getting cold in the car. I said, why don't you just undress and we can get it started? It's cold in here. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about there.
All right. And you said that just before you said that, you said he's kissing on you and getting heavy. That what you're talking about?
Then, you see, that's what I'm saying. I had all this. I was totally mentally blocked. Totally. I had blackouts completely about that night and what happened exactly. And I'm just choppy as can be.
Well, when you said you're in the front seat, he's kissing, hugging, you're talking about Mr. Mallory, right?
Richard Mallory never even kissed and hugged me. He did that, but after he was raping me, and if I said he was getting heavy, kissing and hugging me, that's rape. Heavy means rape.
I see. Oh, as you've offered to have sex, you're laying there naked on your back. And the man paid you, and you say it's rape when he's hugging and kissing, and getting on you.
He didn't pay me, and I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't pay me. He's not kissing me because, for regular sex, he raped me. This is when he gets heavy, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Then you went on to say, then he started getting violent with me, and we're fighting a little bit. That what you said?
Well, the way I talk, it's like, oh, we're fighting a little bit, and you know, and that's just the way I talk.
but you expanded upon that today to tell the story of being tied up and raped.
Well, we did fight a little bit. It wasn't a whole lot of fighting when I grabbed his arms at the very end. Then he slapped me in the face. It didn't last 5 minutes. Only lasted half a minute at most.
And you said, I had my purse right there on the passenger floor. Then you said, no, it wasn't a purse. It was a blue bag.
That's right. Carried a tote bag.
Could it have been the brown purse you had with Bobby Copas?
Yeah, why don't you check that gun and see if it fits? Because I'm telling you, it doesn't. And if Bobby Copas doesn't know what he's talking about, because Bobby Copas never picked me up.
All right. Under the blue bag, you said, he had the blue bag. I had it zipped on the side, and it was unzipped. Because you wanted to make sure if anything happened, I could use my gun. Things are starting to happen where I think he was gonna roll me, take my money back. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm probably thinking is that this guy is just going to rape me, take my money, kill me, whatever, dump me off. I don't know. Maybe he thinks I have $500 or $600 on me or something.
You said take my money back. Are you talking about the money that he gave you earlier?
He never gave me any money. No way. When I say take my money back, I'm sure I'm like, it's just my expression, you know? The way I was expressing myself.
Here are your words as to why you're starting to grabbing this gun. I think he was going to roll me, take my money back, beat me up, or whatever the heck he was going to do.
And doesn't that say it's a different story at the end?
So I jumped out. So you're not talking about Mr. Mallory there.
I may be talking a little bit about him, but then I might be talking about somebody else in it. So that's why I said, wait a minute, this is all messed up.
Mr. Horzeppa only asked you about Mr. Mallory, didn't he?
Uh-uh.
Didn't Detective Munster ask you about the others?
No, Horzeppa questioned me on a couple others.
In any event, at this point, you'd been talking about Mallory according to the questions and answers you gave at that point, correct? When you said, so I jumped out of the car with my bag and grabbed the gun.
No, because I never got out of the car. So I'm saying I was never coherent enough to actually tell you what happened, because there was too many blank spots. I had to sit back, put all the pieces together, this person, what happened. I was drunk as could be that night. I had to remember, like, what did happen exactly, precisely, and everything. I couldn't tell you that. And if I started to, like I say, every time I messed up and wanted to start over, you guys interrupted me. You talked about Richard Mallory, and then, what was it, 11 or 12 pages later, you came back to Mallory again after you done gone through a whole bunch of jazz about some other stuff? Oh, had me confused. Then you talk about, that Detective Munster or Horzeppa or whatever. We talked about the sausage truck guy, and then he asked me about, well, did you find his wallet? And then he was talking about Richard Mallory.
I have a question for you based upon what you're doing now. Let me just finish this question. You said I jumped out of the car with my bag, and I grabbed the gun and I said, get out of the car. And he said, what's going on? I said, you son of a bitch, I knew you were going to rape me. And he said, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
And why don't you read the rest? It says it's a different story.
Is that what you said?
Maybe what I said, but it's wrong because it wasn't, I was not coherent. And it is totally about someone else, which I'm not going to talk about.
Well, how about here? Later on, you said, oh, no, 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 that wasn't it yet. Is that where you correct it? Your Honor, I'm going to object unless he's willing to give her a copy of the transcript. It's impossible for her to recall.
Yes, this is serious.
Page 7. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
You said, get out of the car. And to let you speak, he said, why? What's going on? And I said, you son of a bitch, I knew you were going to rape me. And he said, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. And you said, oh, yes, you were. You were going to try to rape me, man. So anyway, I told him, step away from the car. And then you said to the detective, oh, no, I didn't. All of this is another thing, okay? I know what happened. Okay, I jumped out of the car. Now, when you say you jumped out of the car, you're talking about Mallory.
Wait, I got page 7, and I don't see anything you're talking about here.
I'm sorry, page 8 now. You said, oh, no, I didn't. All this is another thing, okay? I know what happened. Okay, I jumped out of the car, and that was Mallory you're talking about.
No, because I told you. Yeah, he was starting to get physical, to do stuff to me. Ugh, this is a different story. God, see, it was so long ago. And that's why I'm totally incoherent. I can't remember everything you guys are questioning me about because these incidences that happen when my mind is focused on Tyra. I only came here to confess. I don't know what I'm doing here talking to you guys about the other things. And I'm like, well, should I even answer these questions? I really don't want to. And I'm also so confused. Anyway, when I started talking about them, then I get mixed up with different people because you guys keep asking me, you know, okay, it's all right, take your time. And then you say, yeah, I jumped out of the car, I pulled my gun out when he started to do, you know, physically do shit to me. And after asking me, you know, what type of gun do you have, you don't even let me go on. I mean, they weren't letting me go on or nothing, to recorrect myself or nothing. Now he just asked me about, now for the next 11 pages, he's talking about all different guys. White pickup truck, and I say, what white pickup truck? I don't recall a white pickup truck.
You went on to say on that same page that this was a 9-shot, 22 caliber pistol, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that it was fully loaded.
Yeah, I usually carried it loaded.
Exhibit 20, is this your pistol?
Yes.
Is this the pistol you killed Mr. Mallory with, yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's the pistol you threw away under Rose Bay Bridge in Volusia County, correct? Nearly a year later, right?
Yes, mm-hmm, under the advice of Tyra Jolene Moore.
Now you say Tyria Moore advised you to throw the pistol away.
Yes, she did.
When did she do that?
The very last stages of our relationship. I told her I was going to go ahead and quit hustling. And she said just throw the gun away in the river or something.
At the time, did she know that you had killed 7 men with it?
Objection, Your Honor. Same grounds. Lee, don't answer that question.
At that time, did she know you had killed Richard Mallory with it?
Yes, because she knew it was self-defense. I told her 14 days later about the bruises and everything, and I told her what happened. She knows it was self-defense.
Was there any other reason that you know of, that she told you to throw it away?
No, because she used to tell me, do you got your gun? Do you got your gun? Do you got your rubbers? Make sure that you don't, you know, make sure you clean the vehicles out really good if you ever run into an incident like that again. Don't let anyone hurt you, honey. You've been violently raped, and I don't ever want to see anyone ever do anything like that to you again.
Did you ever tell her about any violent rapes after Mallory or...
Objection, Your Honor. Same grounds. Lee, don't answer the question.
Now, you'd only had that gun for a couple of months, if not as short as a couple of days, right?
I've had it for at least ever since Rutland, which I don't know. You'd have to, you know, somebody has to check up and see when I lived in Rutland before Ocean Camp, and that's when I got the gun.
Was there a record where you purchased it?
I'm not going to answer it.
Well, on page 9 of your transcript of your deposition, you first say that I don't know. They asked you how long you'd had it. Months, years. You said, I don't know. Might have been about maybe a couple of months ago. And then Detective Horzepa said, okay, you had the gun for quite a long time. You again said, no, only a couple months before. And he says, right. And then you said, I think, and he responded, that's no problem. And then you said, I might have got the gun just then. I can't remember, like 2 days before or something.
Well, like I said, what are you supposed to do? Stop the clock and let me heal my mind for my hysteria and everything else? I'm not going to answer any questions coherently. I was incoherent. Hysteria. I was totally on Pluto. So whatever I said, I didn't make any sense, basically. And I've read one time the transcript, this thing, this confession, and it shows nothing but hysterical hysteria and incoherence. There is no coherence whatsoever, hardly at all, in this confession. It shows I'm freaking out, and so many questions that I answered are not going to be coherent. Or, well, if you even want to say honest, because I can't be honest, because I can't say the truth of what's happening, because I'm incoherent. I don't know. And I'm telling you right now, I got the gun in Rutland. So take it from there, that's all I can do.
Well then, on that same page, the discussion concerning Mr. Mallory resumed as page 9, and Detective Horzeppa said, okay. So you're back there, you jump out of the car. Your response was, I jumped out of the car because he was physically starting to abuse me. Page 9, next to the bottom. And I remember now, he didn't give me any money. This was another guy. This guy, he said. Well, I'll give you. No, you said. I said, well, I always take my money first. See how much the merchandise is. And then the question, this was Mr. Mallory that told you, and your answer was yes.
I do recall him saying something about merchandise, but that was...
Okay, so there's no question you jumped out of the car, though, with Mr. Mallory before you shot him.
No, I jumped out of the car after he was shot 3 times, and I ran to the driver's side, opened the door, was looking at him. He was starting to come out at me, and I just said, don't come any closer to me, or something like that, you know. I'm gonna have to keep shooting you if you do. And he just kept on coming, so I shot him.
All right, so you shot him 3 times, according to you, inside the car, right?
I shot him 3 times, yeah.
And that's not an automatic pistol. You have to pull the trigger and cock it.
No, it shoots really easy.
Oh, really?
It's got like a hairpin trigger to it.
And after you shot him 3 times, where did those bullets hit him?
Well, all I know is that he was reaching his arm, and from what I've seen from you guys, one must have went under there, and I don't know where the others... They went in the front area. I don't know where.
Then you got out of the passenger door and ran all the way around the car, correct?
Yeah.
According to this story. And then you opened the door, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then you shot him again.
He was coming out of the car, and I stated, even in the confession, that he's getting out of the car somewhere in here on page 55 or 53 or something. Yeah, it's 53.
And you said this discussion about money, you hadn't asked for the money in advance because you thought he was a pretty nice guy. Is that right?
Yeah, because I had traveled with him from Tampa to Daytona. He hadn't tried anything on me yet. He had all the chances to when we stopped to take leaks and everything.
All right. And Mr. Horzeppa was just listening now. You talked about the money. He said this. He said, this is what Mallory told you. And you said, yes. And then he said, okay. Waiting for your next explanation. And your answer was, so I said, well, since I've been talking to you all night long, I think you seem like a pretty nice guy, you know? So, okay, let's go have fun. So I started to lay down, and he's gonna, you know, unzip his pants. Did you say that? Is that what happened?
I'm telling you that's not what happened. I'm telling you I'm incoherent again in this statement. Not expressing myself right. What really happened? And I got into other details with other people in here where I'm totally talking about one person and another person, even talked about Richard Mallory in there.
Well, you know you're talking about Mr. Mallory here, though, aren't you?
If apparently it said this is what Mr. Mallory told you, I said yes, but then you go, okay, then I could, you know, carry on, but believe me, I'm incoherent and I'm not saying it right.
Well, this doesn't sound incoherent.
I'm thinking about other incidents.
Listen to this sentence. You said, why don't you take your clothes off? My God, you know. I said, well, it hurt to do that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty incoherent to me.
And then he got pissed, called me, and said, "Fuck you, baby. I'm going to screw you right here and now." Or something like that. Was that Mr. Mallory?
I didn't remember the night it happened. I did the best I could to get close on that particular thought in my mind.
You went on to acknowledge that you were in the woods. The doors of the automobile were open.
They were not open.
But you said they were.
Again, I'm going to have to go over this with you 100 times over.
I'm just asking you to answer. Did you say they were at that time?
I said they were at the time, I guess.
All you have to do is answer yes or no.
Yes.
Then the question about money right afterward. You said, "I remember that." Referring to the woods with the doors open, you said. And I said, "No, no, you're not just gonna fuck me. You gotta pay." Is that what you said to Mr. Mallory?
Well?
Yes or no?
If that's what's in the confession, I guess I can't say that it isn't. It's there.
Is that what you said to him?
No, I'm saying no. I didn't say it right.
And you say that's because you were totally incoherent and didn't know what you were saying.
Yes, I was. Totally. And if you would have saw me 45 minutes before I even talked on the confessions, and when I just got off that phone, you would have seen me in a total hysterical state. Royal. I couldn't stop laughing and crying and everything else that was going on.
And then you continue to say, and he said, "Oh, bullshit." And that's when I got pissed. Isn't that what you said?
If that's what it says in there, but I'm telling you like I said before, I would talk about one person, and there would be another person that I'm talking about, and then another person, and then it would be Mallory that I'm talking about. They were mixing it. It was so mixed up. I had it so mixed up in here. They were asking. Tyra asked me to get drunk, erase these incidents, keep erasing, erasing, erasing. And that's just what I did. I erased. And when they started questioning me on these things, I was totally lost because I couldn't remember. I would have blank spots royal.
Well, how about today? You told a story about alcohol and anal rape, and you've had all sorts of details that you never, ever revealed to police.
And I can talk about every one now, today, but I'm not going to, no.
You say, "Well, I'm coming back to recollection." Okay, so then we started fighting and everything else, and I jumped out. He grabbed my bag, and I grabbed my bag, and the arm busted. I got the bag again, and I pulled it out of his hand, and that's when I grabbed the pistol. That's what happened, wasn't it?
That's a totally different guy.
And I just shot him in the front seat. You shot Mr. Mallory in the front seat, didn't you?
But not that way. That's not what happened. I told you it was a different guy, and it even stated it was a different guy. That's the same phrase that I say it's a different story.
You went on to say that, in fact, you showed where the bullet struck on the videotape on the right side, didn't you?
I tried to. I don't remember how I was. Matter of fact, yesterday while watching it, I didn't know what I was doing.
And that was talking about Mr. Mallory, wasn't it?
I guess.
Then you go on to page 10 and say, he proceeded to get out of the car. So he started getting out of the car. I ran around the front of the car, and he started coming towards me.
I'm going to have to object again. The prosecutor is reading her statement. He's not asking any questions. If he has questions, I'm sure she'll answer, as long as it pertains to Mallory.
Is that what you told Mr. Horzepa?
If it's written in there, I guess that's what it says. I can't take the typing and erase it or change it over. I'm trying to tell you the truth today. What actually happened. This is incoherent mishmash jazz.
Then on page 53, again, Your Honor, same objections, reading the transcript to her.
Well, let's go back to 21. You certainly are willing to admit he was behind the steering wheel when you shot him, aren't you?
I was lying down in the passenger's, lying down across the whole darn front seat, actually. He was behind the wheel. He was up on his knee, one leg down.
And you were lying down.
I was. My legs were up like, and he was having me spread my legs.
Can you explain how, if you were laying down inside, that the bullet didn't hit him and go upward and high?
I thought, whatever he was, that he was so decomposed you couldn't tell. How can you say that?
The pathologist said it.
Oh, well, I don't. I couldn't tell you. All I know is I shot him from the seat, lying down.
You shot him immediately, didn't you? You didn't give him a chance to say anything, did you?
Am I supposed to stop the clock and rationalize with this guy who wanted to kill me? He said he was going to kill me.
You didn't give him a chance to say anything when you shot him the first time, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, what about the second time?
Nope.
What about the third time?
Nope.
What about the last time when you shot him on the ground?
I didn't shoot him on the ground. I shot him as he was coming out of the car, and I shot him. I told him to stop. Don't move no more. Don't come toward me anymore. Just stay there. He didn't listen. He was coming out of the car, and I shot him again because I didn't know what the dickens he was doing. I didn't know if he had a gun under the seat. I didn't know if he was going to reach for another weapon. I don't know what he had.
He didn't have a weapon in that car, did he?
How do I know?
Did he have a weapon?
No, he didn't, but how did I?
And after you shot him, you ran around the front of the car and came around to his side and shot him some more. And you said he kind of crawled out of the car and shut the door.
He didn't shut the door. I shut the door afterwards.
And then you drove to Quail Run. Whereabouts at Quail Run did you go?
Just as soon as you get off the road, just right there, there's some place you can park.
Why did you go there?
Because I was totally nude, and I had to get my clothes on, and I also was shook up, and I was crying vehemently, and I had to get my head back together. Of course I can't drive around nude.
How did you know where Quail Run was?
Because I live out there. I know Daytona, all of Daytona. I've been here since 1974. I live in Bunnell.
And then you went and got some gas, right?
Very little.
You went back to the motel and you told Ty you had borrowed the car, right?
I told Tyra when I got into the motel room and saw the furniture totally destroyed and everything else, I was going to just not even tell her the car was out there, and I was just going to take a shower and then go back, you know, back out and hurry up and get rid of it, but when I saw all that, I said, oh man, we gotta get out of here. The manager's gonna call the cops or whatever. So I told her, I said, I just borrowed a car that the guy's in a motel waiting and said I gotta bring it back in 2 hours.
You went in Mr. Mallory's pockets and took his goods, his money, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I went and got his keys. His wallet wasn't even on his possession. It was underneath the seat of the car.
You turned his pockets inside out.
Just to get his keys out of his pocket. I'm sure it pulled it out. It just came with the keys. He had some pretty tight jeans on.
And they were still zipped up, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yes, but he was about to unzip them.
And that's what made you mad. He wouldn't take them off.
Nope, that is not what happened.
Then you went on to a car wash to get rid of any evidence that might be on it, right?
I had the car wash to make sure my fingerprints weren't in that car, because I was scared out of my mind about what I had just done. And that I had to, you know, leave his vehicle somewhere.
Did you pawn his radar detector?
Yes, I did that for food as I laid low, and what was it, $30?
Why'd you take away the money from him?
It was for food. Food.
How much money did you get from him?
It was like $30 or $40, $42, $48, something like that. It was less than $50. I remember a $20 and a $10 and some change.
When you shot Mr. Mallory, you intended to kill him, didn't you?
I had no choice.
You intended to kill him, didn't you?
I had no choice. I couldn't stop the clock and say, well, let's see where I can shoot him so the man can stay alive. I had to immediately shoot. He was going to kill me. He was going to beat the living daylights out of me and choke me to death or whatever he was going to do.
You've explained that several times. Just answer the question. You intended to kill him, didn't you?
I say no, and here's your answer. No.
You shot him in the chest.
I had no choice. Wherever I shot him and it killed him, I had no choice. I couldn't stop the clock and think, shoot him in the arm, shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the foot. And I'm not the greatest aimer. I did whatever I had to do at the quickest moment and without, just as, you know, fast as possible. It was a spontaneous reaction.
You shot him once in the neck, right?
I didn't know he got shot in the neck at all. I didn't hear that he got shot in the neck.
Didn't you tell Mr. Horzeppa on page 25, and the question was, but when you decided to pull the gun, that person was going to die. I mean, you weren't just going to shoot him. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
Do you remember your answer? Oh, I was definitely going to shoot him and let him die. Isn't that what you said? Page 58.
Yes, and I am referring to a certain situation, and I went, you know, that's the thing. There's certain situations here. There's a number, and every incident was a different situation of violence that was involved, and the fear, and everything else in certain situations. So when I talked about, you know, when I'm getting questioned, those questions I'm referring of certain situations, of certain people, and see, nothing can be leveled to one person.
Page 58 again, a little bit ahead of where you said, I was definitely going to shoot him and let him die. These questions are asked by Mr. Horzeppa. Did you give an electric razor to the gentleman who owns the little restaurant where you stay? And your answer was, yes, I did. And the question was, whose razor did that belong to? And you said, I think that was Mallory's. He asked, Richard Mallory's? You said, uh-huh. Did you give that gentleman or his wife anything else as gifts? You said, uh-uh. I just wanted to get rid of the razor because I didn't.
Objection, Your Honor. Is this a question, or is he only going to read her the transcript?
Are those the questions and answers you gave?
Yes, and amazingly, that's some of the short questions. I mean...
No, you can explain later. Were those the questions asked and your answers, yes or no?
Yes.
Exhibit 122, is that his razor?
I don't know. I was not shown the razor when they asked me. Therefore, I don't know if this is his razor or not. I don't know who it belongs to, but it did have...
That's part of his property, though, isn't it? Hard to keep up with that much property, isn't it?
Objection.
Jury, disregard the question.
Where you were asked to explain the items, your answer was, I just wanted to get rid of the razor because I didn't, you know, what do I need it for? And I just, you know, they're nice to me and shit, so I decided to give him the razor for Christmas or something.
Objection again, Your Honor. Is there a question?
That was referring to Mr. Mallory's razor, wasn't it?
Like I say, I don't know if that's his razor. I don't need to lie. He had a razor, but I don't know what, who, where. I don't know what it looks like. I know that Tyra wanted me to keep a razor for her to shave her legs with, and that is the only reason I kept the darn thing in the first place. I didn't care about it. I just kind of threw it in with everything else.
My question to you is this. Were you talking about Mr. Mallory's razor at that time?
Yes.
Next question after that was, when you decided to pull the gun on that person who's going to die, I mean you were just going to shoot him, and your answer...
I haven't been able to sit and rationalize out, to think out and realize what I'm saying because I'm under too much stress, hysteria, everything else. I don't answer these, just any of this jazz correctly. So if I state something like that and it sounds kind of rough, I didn't mean it that way. I was just too under stress and tense. I didn't know how to explain myself.
Well, you also explained to Mr. Horzeppa, did you not, that you had to kill because if you didn't kill, you would be identified and arrested.
Page what?
Page 7. I shot him and said to myself, well, hell, might as well keep shooting him. I gotta kill the guy.
Objection, Your Honor. This is not about Mallory. I move for a mistrial.
Approach the bench.
Didn't you tell Mr. Horzeppa that taking Mr. Mallory's property was your last revenge on him?
I told him, if I said it like that, I explained it wrong, but this is how it feels. I felt like what he did to me was unnecessary. Therefore, when I took his property for food, I figured, well, like, I don't know, like he owed me for what he did.
Did you tell Mr. Horzeppa that maybe it was self-defense, but maybe it was stupid?
Objection. Generic. Again, we move for a mistrial.
Did you tell Mr. Horzeppa you didn't know why you killed Richard Mallory?
I'm not going to answer that.
Isn't one of the reasons you killed Mr. Mallory is that you didn't want him to tell on you after you shot him?
I had to do what I had to do. If he would have been alive, he probably would have told the cops I tried to rob him and kill him, which is not true because I'm a prostitute. Nobody was going to believe a prostitute and that he raped me and that he tried to strangle and kill me and that he was probably going to do all these other kind of things to me throughout the whole day, the next morning or whatever, however long he was going to keep me. I don't believe anybody would have believed me because we've got prostitutes out there being killed every day and nobody cares about it, and we've got women being raped every day and it doesn't even seem some are prostitutes, but nobody cares about it, and I have witnessed it with my own eyes, reading the newspapers numerous times, so I believe nobody would have believed me. So when I made that statement, I meant it, referring to the fact that nobody would have believed that I was raped and that I had to defend myself. They would have said, you're a prostitute and we don't care.
So you decided you had to go ahead and kill him?
I didn't. I'm talking about so many different situations. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about Richard Mallory there. No, I'm talking about a totally different situation.
Well, what did you decide when you shot him the last time square in the chest?
When he was coming out of the vehicle, that was where it was very obvious to shoot at.
You say that here you are, a woman that is ravaged and naked, right? Right?
Yes, I was naked.
Cord marks around your neck where you'd been strangled, right? Right?
Yes.
Bleeding from the anus where you'd been raped, right?
Yes.
Alcohol and Visine bottles where this torture took place, right?
Yes.
A cord with which you'd been tied to the wheel and held by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would believe that you've been assaulted?
The marks on my neck were very small. They looked like hickeys.
Well, what about your anus you said was bleeding? You were ripped.
It's the way I was. I was too... What am I supposed to do? Walk out there nude with a gun in my hand in the road?
No more questions.
Dear listeners, this is it for the cross-examination. Next week, we'll get into closing arguments, sentencing, and much, much more. Thank you for listening to part 4 of the Eileen Warnoff series. Stay safe and take care.